I want to bring you a few studies on the subject of faith. Faith is something that we often talk quite a bit about, but practice very little. Faith is absolutely essential. There is not a time when it becomes optional for the child of God. The only way we can please the Lord is by faith. The only way we can live for Christ is by faith. And we either walk by faith or we don't walk by faith. And there's a great deal of teaching in the Bible about the importance and the absolute necessity, the necessity of faith. I want to ask you to turn, if you would, please, to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11, if you would, please. In dealing with the overall concept of the necessity of faith, I want us to look this morning at the worship of faith, the worship of faith as exhibited by Abel. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 7. I hope you have your Bibles with you. I hope you are following along in the Scriptures. Just like faith, the Scriptures are not optional. If you're going to grow in grace, you're going to have to be exposed to the Word of God. It is our bread. It is our meat. It is our milk. Absolutely essential, the Bible. Memorize Scripture. Read the Scripture. Love the Scripture. Enjoy the Scripture. So in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that is, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. Now, the implication there, and I believe it's a strong implication, if you don't have faith, you don't have much sense. You don't get understanding through book knowledge. You get understanding by faith in the Word of God, believing the Scripture. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. For by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews chapter number 11 is the faith chapter in the Bible. The emphasis is not on the men who exercised faith, but faith itself. God does not honor the man, but he does honor the faith which the man exercises. Faith. Notice how much the word is used in this chapter. If you've never taken the time out to read Hebrews 11, you need to do it, and you'll find the predominant word used over and over again is faith. Faith. You find it in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 24 times in this 11th chapter. You say, why do you suppose it's in there so much? Because it's important. Faith. Faith. Remember, there are no chapter divisions in the original manuscripts. chapter and verse divisions came a little bit later on in the compilation of the Word of God. Originally, there were no chapter divisions. Thus, when you finish reading the last two verses of chapter 10, you go right into chapter 11. Notice how smoothly that transition is made. In chapter 10, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And he tells you what faith is, and he shows you how it works in chapter number 11. The just shall live by faith. It's found four times in your Bible. It is found in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. It is found in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17. It is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse number 11. And it is found in Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. Very important term, very important teaching, the teaching of faith in the Scripture. Paul reminds us in the Corinthian epistle, there are only two walks in life, either a walk of faith or a walk by sight. He verifies that by 2 Corinthians 5:7 when he says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Now, there are a whole lot of people who walk by sight, but Paul makes it clear to the Corinthians, we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. You say, well, now what's the difference in walking by faith and walking by sight? Let's take the latter first. What is walking by sight? That is a walk which is regulated by the physical senses of the human body. If you walk by sight, you believe it only if you can see it, if you can smell it, if you can taste it, if you can hear it, if you can touch it. The disciples on that sinking ship depended on sight rather than faith in Christ. That's the reason Christ said to them, "O ye of little faith." They were walking by sight. Why did not somebody check the weather forecast and find out there's going to be a storm over the Sea of Galilee and we never would have made this trip before? And since the wind is blowing and the storm is upon us, and because the waves are dashing against the ship, maybe it's a short-lived storm and it'll be gone in a few minutes. But the longer they waited, the longer the storm persisted. They were trying to get some comfort out of walking by sight. And finally, when they came to the end of their road, they said, "Master, don't you care whether we perish or not?" They were walking by sight. They were not walking by faith. Now, walking by faith, that's a different thing. Walking by faith is a walk which is regulated by believing what God says in spite of the physical senses, in spite of this inward feeling, in spite of this inward idea that things are not really as the Scripture says they are. No, faith is believing what God says in spite of the physical senses. Have you ever wondered how Daniel could rest peacefully in a den of lions? He was not in the lion's den. That'd been bad enough. But he was in a den of lions. How is it that he could stretch out and maybe take his hands and ruffle the mange of that lion and use it for a pillow to rest his head on? How can you do that? By faith. If he had applied reason to it, he'd still be screaming, "Somebody get me out of here." But Daniel rested in the fact that God was going to be with him, and he was walking by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ told Thomas, after our Lord had resurrected from the dead, blessed are those who believe, having seen, but more blessed are they who believe, having not seen. If you believe because you see that sight, but if you believe in spite of the fact you do not see, you still believe, that's walking by faith. God wants His people to walk by faith. I do not believe there's ever been a generation on the face of this earth where there is such a strong demand for people to walk by faith and not by sight. You won't get a half mile down the road if you try to walk by sight when you look at what's going on today and try to measure comfort by it. There is no comfort out there. There's no security out there. There's no good news out there. God wants His people to walk by faith. These professed believers in Hebrews had a tendency to go back to the animal sacrifices and a system which they could see. They could see that lamb. They could see the knife. They could see the slitting of the throat. They could see the blood. They were walking by sight. Paul rebukes them if he wrote the book of Hebrews. If he didn't, the writer of Hebrews rebukes them for that. That we're no longer under that Mosaic, that Levitical economic system. We're under a new system. We walk by faith and not by sight. And therefore he presents this subject in detail in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 goes by many names. Some people have called it the faith chapter. I use that to begin with this morning. Why? Because the word faith is used so much in that chapter. Some call it the heroes of the faith. And perhaps so. Some call it the saints' hall of fame. When you read Hebrews 11, it lists an awful lot of people there. But they all walked by faith. Alan Redpath calls it Rogue's Gallery. Rogue's Gallery. Mr. Redpath said Abraham lied. Noah got drunk. Jacob was a cheat. Rahab was a harlot. David killed a man and stole his wife. And Samson was a scoundrel. But they're in Hebrews chapter number 11. Again, it's not the men, but the faith that's emphasized here. So in the study this morning, I want us to discuss what faith is. How does it work? How does one come by faith? Three things. First of all, the definition of faith is found in verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, if you read these verses 50 years from now, they're going to say the same thing they're saying today. The Word of God does not change. It's like His holy character. He's the same Christ yesterday, today, and forever. You have the definition of faith in verses 1, 2, and 3. You have the demand of faith in verse number 6. And you have the demonstration of faith, especially in verse 4, 5, and 7. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written, with the exception of a few passages in Aramaic, it was written in Hebrew. It is interesting to do Greek word studies. The word faith comes from the Greek word P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, pistis. But you also may be interested in knowing that the word belief, the noun, not believe, the verb, but belief, is the same word, P-I-S-T-I-S. In other words, it is the same word whether you use belief or faith. It comes from the same Greek word. Faith is believing. It is believing. It is not scratching your head and say, well, I know, I'm going to have to look at that for a little while. No, it's believing. Faith is believing. Notice what the text says. Now, faith is. If he didn't go any further, we've learned a great truth this morning. Faith is. Faith is. It doesn't try to be. It's not doing the best it can to exist. No, faith is. Faith. It's not faith was. Boy, you can read what those men in the Old Testament did. They walked by faith. That was. That's past. No, faith is. It's as much is for 2014 as it was in the very day of beginning of creation when God created the heavens and the earth. Faith is now. It is for the present. It's not for the saints of years gone by. It is for us. We need faith today. It's now. Not only that, but it is fact. Faith is fact, not fantasy. Notice the scripture says faith is. It is. Faith is. What is it? Faith is substance. Faith is not like cotton candy. Cotton candy doesn't have any substance to it. You can fill your whole mouth with cotton candy in about 5 seconds, it's all gone. Now, faith is something. Faith is substance. It's not just a fairy tale. It is. Faith is not some particular belief or church denomination like the Baptist faith or the Methodist faith. It's not some world of fantasy that Christians live in. It is real, absolute, and definite. Faith is. Faith is now. And then faith demands an object. One cannot say, I believe, without stating or implying an object of that belief. You say to me, Brother Cozart, I believe. I say to you, you believe what? It demands an object. It has to have an object. It's like love. You cannot say, well, you know, I just love. Love what? It demands an object. Thus, the object of faith is the Word of God and what it teaches. It's not what the Baptist preacher thinks about it, and it's not what the Catholic Church teaches about it. It's what the Word of God says. Faith in the Word of God. The object of faith is the Word of God and what it teaches. Now, have we gone too fast for you on that? Do you really believe that? The Bible, perhaps, is the most popular book in all the world that's ever been printed, and yet, my dear friends, it's the most neglected book that's ever been printed. People will read anything and everything before they'll ever get around to reading the Word of God. And yet faith is the Word of God. Faith, the object is the Word of God and what it teaches. Let me give you a simple definition of faith. And if you've been with us in this church for any length of time, I've given this to you over and over again. I keep telling you to write it down. You won't write it down. I keep telling you to memorize it. You won't memorize it. But it hadn't changed. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. If you do not act like it, it is not genuine faith. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. Let me give you a good illustration and an example of this. In Acts chapter number 27, verse number 25. Acts 27, verse number 25. Paul was en route to Rome to be tried before Caesar. And a tremendous storm by the name of Euroclydon overcame the ship in which Paul was being taken. And it looked like that everybody aboard was going to be drowned to death because of the severity of that storm. And yet Paul goes down in the hull of the ship while everybody else is running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. Paul goes down in the hull of that ship, and he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Another way of saying that is, nobody's going to lose their life during this storm. The next verse, Paul comes up aboard to where the men are, and he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Well, they were about going crazy. They didn't know what they were going to do. How is it that this guy, he must be a religious fanatic, he doesn't take danger seriously. No. Why was he so optimistic about this? He said, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I'm not going to look at the wind. I'm not going to look at the waves. I'm not going to look at the tornado and the cyclone. I'm going to believe God." Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. He didn't come up with a disgruntled look on his face. He didn't come up with a lower lip longer than you would have if you sucked buttermilk out of a gopher's hole. I want everybody to know I walk by faith. I'm doing the best. I really believe. No, you don't believe God until you act like it. There's got to be that action element in faith. It believes what God says and acts like it. Well, did it work? Acts 27, 34 through 36. Paul said, "Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health." If you're going down for the last time, who cares about your health? But you see, Paul did not look at it that way. "I want you to eat something for your health. There shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread. He gave thanks in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. You see what a difference makes when you get off the sight train and get on the faith train and start looking at it like God says it in His Word. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. Now let me give you the scriptural definition for it, found in verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This has also been called, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. A title deed does two things, dear friends. Number one, it lets me know that the property is there, though I have not seen it. I may never have seen the property that I have purchased. How can I know it is there? Because I have the title deed. I know it's there. How do you know it's there? Because I have the title deed. What is the title deed? It is the Word of God. The title deed. Second thing a title deed does, it lets me know that it belongs to me, not just to somebody else. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is a statement over in 1 Peter 1, verse 4, that tells us we have been saved to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I've never been to heaven. You say, "Well, how do you know it's there? Have you ever seen it?" "No, I've never seen it." "Well, how do you know it's there?" "I got the title deed." The title deed is the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof of things that are there. It is the substance. I know I have a place in heaven. How do you know, Dan? Because the Bible tells me I do. That when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, one day He's coming again in the clouds of glory and take me unto Himself, that where He is, there I may be also. I either believe that or I don't believe that. If you believe that, you're taking it on faith. If I tell you I have some property and you ask me if I've seen it, and I tell you I haven't, you might ask me to prove it. That's what the title deed would do. It would prove the property is real and that it belongs to me. Faith acts in that capacity. Dear friends, God's people should base all of their spiritual holding on the written word of God. That is faith. That's what faith is. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. No use arguing about it. Second of all, we have the demand. Pardon me. Faith gives a good report. Let me hit verse 2 quickly. Through faith we understand. Pardon me. For by it the elders. Now, he's not talking about the members over in the Presbyterian church. For by it the elders, the Old Testament saints, obtained a good report. You know how you get a good report card from the Lord? By faith. If you walk by faith, you get a good report card. You walk by sight, you flunk. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And notice this, that faith gives understanding. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It provides us with understanding. Faith produces understanding. I was not around at the creation of the heavens and the earth. Were you? Well, how can you be so sure that it's not a product of evolution? I tell you how I can know that. Even though I wasn't there, believing God's word. Faith is believing God's word and acting like it. It gives me understanding. Now there's the demand of faith in verse number 6 and how strong it is. But without faith, are you listening? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Don't care how you can preach. Don't care how you can sing. Don't care how long you've been a deacon. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You can come to God without good looks. Aren't you glad? You can come to God without money. You can come to God without talent, without education, without ability. You can come to God without recommendation, but you cannot come to God without faith. It's totally impossible. And when you come to God, you must believe that He is. Is that what it says? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Do you believe He is, or do you believe He ain't? If you walk by faith, you believe that God is. Not only do you believe that God is, you believe He is the only God that is. And all other gods are ain't. There's no such thing as a God apart from the God of the Bible. No such thing as that. You must believe that. You must believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God. If we could just get the Muslims to see that, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we could just somehow get Washington, D.C. to see that, wouldn't that just be a glorious miracle? There's only one God, God of the Bible. This is why I don't believe the Bible. Well, you have to go to hell. You don't believe the Bible, you go to hell. I said if you don't believe the Bible, you go to hell. It's not an option whether you think, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and believe it. You better believe it. Because it's the Word of God. One must believe not only that the God of the Bible is the only true God, but one must believe the God of the Bible will do what He promises. His Word can be trusted. When God says something, my dear friends, you can back it up. It's so. When God says something's going to happen, might as well make preparation for it. It's getting ready to happen. So what it doesn't look like it's going to do, it doesn't make a difference whether it looks like it or not. That's walking by sight. God says it, then that's faith. It must be done diligently. I think I picked up on that word in verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a good Greek word. It means to crave. That's what happens when you go into Baskin-Robbins. You get into a crave mode. You want to eat some of everything they got to offer. You crave it. Sometimes I'm told this, and I've seen it happen 4 times in my own home, that when the lady of the home is bearing a child to be born, she gets in a craving mood. Dill pickles at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they get craving. Just, I need some popcorn. I'm just going to die. Can we approach that, my dear friends, in the same light? That a person who seeks God does it cravingly. I want the Lord more than anything else. I want to know truth. I don't care if I'm ostracized for it. I don't care if men make fun of me. I want truth, and you seek for it, and you don't stop looking until you find it. Faith. The demand of faith is great. Now the rest of the time, let's talk about the demonstration of faith. In the verses that we read for you, verses 1 through 7, he gives us 3 demonstrations of faith. You have the worship of faith in verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That's followed by a walk of faith in verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God translated him, but before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And in verse number 7 you have the work of faith by Noah. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Well, you just keep on reading, you keep on getting example after example. In verse number 8, you have the willingness of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should afterward receive his inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. You see not only the willingness of faith, but the power of faith in verse number 11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. By faith she did that, plus a number of others who walked by faith. But let's look more closely at the example of Abel this morning in concluding our thinking on this walk of worship of faith in verse number 4. Let's look at it once again. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel exercised faith in his worship of God. When it came time to worship God, he approached the whole thing by faith. Now you're going to have to leave where you are in Hebrews 11, put a marker there, and go to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And let's see how this works. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Not all children do the same thing. Not all children pursue the same vocation. Some children go one direction. Others of our children go different directions. Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. He was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That's talking about worship. You're going to bring an offering to God, okay? And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. I've had men read that and scowl and say, well, I don't think God's fair there. He should have commended Cain. Cain didn't have to bring that offering. He wanted to. But God didn't accept his offering. He accepted the offering of Abel. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. And if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let me make a statement before explaining some of this. Number one, you need to understand that all men do not have faith. This business that everybody's born with a certain amount of faith, that's just not so. According to the Bible, everybody's born dead in trespasses and in sins, according to the Scripture. We begin to speak lies as soon as we're born because of an Adamic nature inside. All men do not have faith. Let me give you a scripture for that. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. That we may be delivered from all unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Okay? Which raises a very important question. From where did Abel's faith come? It came from the Lord. Faith belongs to the Lord, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith does not originate in man's free will. Faith originates in the personality of God Almighty. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. Ephesians 2, verse 8, which has become the theme verse for most Baptists, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If a man has faith, God's going to have to give him faith. Not all men have faith. Now, through what channel did Abel, receive faith? Through what channel did he receive faith? In Romans 10:17, the scripture says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, that's important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, through whom did Abel hear God's word? Through whom did Abel hear God's word? Not from the Lord himself. There is not one verse of Scripture to teach that God ever spoke to Abel. He spoke to Cain, but he did not speak to Abel. So his faith did not come from God speaking personally to him as such. God spoke with Adam, but he didn't speak with Abel. What Abel knew, he had to get from someone else. Who was that someone else? His daddy. God spoke to Adam, explained the situation to him, and Adam called his two boys in, Cain and Abel, and he explained the situation to them. They heard the word of God through their daddy. what was the word that God gave to Adam? The only way to approach God is through a blood sacrifice. You say, well, how did Adam ever find that out? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, before Abel and Cain were ever born, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. They were dressed with fig leaves that were not any good and never could be any good, which is a type of self-righteousness. And God put on them animal skins soaked in blood. And Adam told his boys, fellas, you need to learn a lesson. You're going to approach God. You better have some blood around. And Cain said, that's the biggest bunch of black-eyed peas I ever heard in my life. Abel said, Daddy, I believe what you just said is truth. He heard the word of God and he believed it. So when it came time to present an offering to the Lord, Cain was still filled with black-eyed pea soup. And he brought the best he had, the best fruit that he had in his garden, my dear friends. But it was not a blood sacrifice. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. God told him to through his daddy, and he did exactly what God said. Faith is doing what God says. It is believing God's word and acting like it. There in that verse, Adam instructed both of his sons, I believe, in this blood sacrifice. And Cain, he was not an atheist. If he were an atheist, he never would have come to present God with something. He would just say, God doesn't exist. Cain was not an atheist. He too believed God and that God required an offering. But instead of a blood sacrifice, he offered a bloodless sacrifice. Cain clearly represents religion, while Abel represents righteousness. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. Now, let me give you a quick rundown. Number one, Abel exercised faith by discounting human schemes and methods and reasoning and by obeying God's word and not trying to improve it. He took God literally at his word. By the way, let me throw this in, won't charge you a dime for it. When you're studying your Bible, you be very, very careful the method you use in interpreting Scripture. Don't look at something that's as plain as the nose on your face and say, well, now God didn't really mean that. If he didn't, why'd he say it? You accept the Bible for what it says, and I'm telling you the literal approach to the Scriptures is the best approach to the Scripture, for if there is a figure of speech in it, then you can apply a spiritual application to it, but until then, it means what it says, and it says what it means. Abel could have said, well, you know what? It's raining outside. Bad weather. I know it hadn't rained up until then, up until Noah's day. But he could have complained and said, you know what? I don't have an animal sacrifice. I've got something that I believe God will be pleased in. He tried to reason it out. That's what's wrong with people today. They're trying to reason how they can get to God in a convenient way so it won't cost them anything, you know. And therefore, we have so many different denominations in the world, and every religion thinks they're the only one. Abel exercised faith by discounting human schemes and methods and reasoning and by obeying God's word, not trying to improve it. Secondly, Abel exercised faith by acknowledging his sins and his need for forgiveness. You say, well, Brother Cozart, how do you know that he felt like he was a sinner? Why would he approach God with a blood sacrifice if he wasn't? The fact that he offered a blood sacrifice indicates he knew that he was a sinner. Not all people know that. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other one a publican. The Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you that I'm as good as I am. I'm as good as God and getting a little bit better every day. I give tithes of all of I possess. I treat people right. And I'm so glad I'm not like this wicked publican over here. While the publican said, God, be merciful to me, this sinner. Which one went home justified? Abel exercised faith in acknowledging his sins and his need for God's forgiveness. He brought that animal sacrifice. And it was sacrificed because the scripture makes clear, and the fat thereof. He actually opened that sacrifice up, physically up, so that it could be exposed and the blood could be exposed. Number three, Abel exercised faith by recognizing that no work or effort could gain him acceptance with God. Cain brought his best. I believe he did. I believe Cain brought the best he had. But you see, Abel brought God's best. Cain brought the work of his hands. Abel brought the work of God's hands. There's a difference in the two, my dear friend. Providing an offering also that overshadowed and foreshadowed the great offering for sin. Abel knew that the lamb offered was his substitute, just as it had been for his parents. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That animal in the book of Genesis, whose skins were put on Adam and Eve, hadn't done anything wrong, but he paid for it with his life. And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. He's the blameless, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And yet, my dear friends, he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That's redemption story, not based on how good you are and what you can do, but who he is and what he did to save sinners by dying in their place as a substitute. I'm not so sure, but what, and I offer this to you in Genesis 4, verse number 7, God gave an opportunity. Now, there's an opportunity here. God is speaking with Cain. Why are you wroth in verse 6? Why is your countenance fallen? Now, watch this carefully. We're getting ready to jump a ditch here. You'll fall in it if you're not careful. If thou doest well, God is speaking to Cain, if thou doest well, is not talking about you need to shape up your life and do a little bit better than what you've been doing. No, no. He means if you don't do what's right. Now, what's right? The right thing is the animal sacrifice Abel offered. If you do right, you'll be accepted. If you present the blood, you'll be accepted. But if you do not do well, watch this. Sin lieth at the door. And the same word in the Hebrew for sin is sin offering. A sin offering lieth at the door. Even as God was speaking to Cain, he said, Cain, just outside this place is an animal. You can offer that animal as an offering, a blood sacrifice. But of course, Cain would not do that either. And finally, Abel exercised faith by accepting God's testimony that he was righteous. Abel's faith brought him the assurance of his salvation. How can one know for a fact, with certainty, whether they've been saved or not? I don't know how you can know that apart from the Word of God. And let me give you a closing scripture in 1 John chapter number 5, verses 9 through 13. 1 John chapter number 5, verses 9 through 13. The scripture says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now, another way to say that is, if you believe what some man tells you, how much more should you believe what God tells you? This is the witness of God. Here it is. This is what God says. This is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth, remember that word pisteth, faith. He who faiths on the Son of God, he who exercises faith in the Son of God, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You say, well, what is a record? Glad you asked. Verse 11. This is a record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He that believes has life. He that doesn't believe has not life. This life is in his Son. Spiritual life is not in the baptistry. That's why if all an individual has is a record of his baptism, he'll die without Christ. Somebody said, I think you have to be baptized to be saved. How misled can you get, my dear friend? Baptism has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with salvation. Life is not in the church. Now, some folks, they almost believe that it is because they want to join the church. And it's a good thing to want to join the church, but why do you want to join it? Life is not in the church. The life of Christ is not in the church. This life is in, not in the best I can do. This life is in his Son. Listen, the money is in the bank. You go to the bank because that's where the money is. You come to Christ because that's where life is. This life is in his Son. Now, have you ever come to Christ for that life? Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for that life? I happen to believe that if a man realizes he is a sinner, I don't think he could do it apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, but if a man really believes he is a sinner and he really believes and knows that Christ died to save sinners by trusting in him, if he'll really in his heart of hearts believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that man can be saved. Sure he can. And if he doesn't believe, he'll be damned. Now, I know that's harsh language. That's precisely what Mark said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But you see, it all goes back to belief. Faith, faith, faith. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And Abel brought a little lamb and said, Lord, here's my offering to you. And God accepted it. And my dear friends, we stand today in the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God accepts us as he accepts that Lamb, his Son, who died for us. What does that mean to you? Well, unless God gives you ears to hear, it means nothing. But maybe we've got somebody here today that heard something. I don't know. I don't know. If you did, act upon what you've heard. Act upon it. Believe, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. The necessity of faith and the worship of faith. The next following verse says Enoch walked with God. We'll talk about that maybe next Sunday morning. Let's stand, please, for prayer.